Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes. I'm honored and privileged, and I mean this. I've known this gentleman for a very long time in a variety of different genres, as they say. His name is State Representative John Barrett. What I like about Representative Barrett is he's forthcoming. He's what you see is what you get. If he tells you no, and he'll explain why. But I love having him on the show because he represents us. And we of Berkshire County, yes, he represents his district. But they all, I just can't tell people how pleased I am to see our representatives all working together. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour. John Barrett, good morning. Representative Barrett, how are you?
Good morning. It's great to be with you. And as we're closing out summer, time certainly flies by, doesn't it? Especially
during the warm weather.
But
I can't believe it.
But you've had an eventful summer. I mean, you know, being the main man, the main woman, the main everything, I guess, person at the Fall Foliage Parade. You represented everybody well.
Oh, 4th of July.
4th of July. I'm saying Fall Foliage.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Maybe we should drag you up to our Fall Foliage Parade and we'll honor you up here too.
Oh, God.
No, it was a great honor and you should be very proud of it. And it says a lot about you and what you've done for the community over the years. So enjoy it. And you deserve more than 15 minutes of fame for sure.
Well, I'll tell you.
Right, wrong, you're indifferent.
Well, yeah, you and I, we may go out without a Mother Teresa award, but we've done our best. It was a very humbling experience for me, and as I've shared with you personally, I do a lot of things, not for my own, but for the guys that never got a chance to do it. They'll be forever 19. The last picture that their parents, grandparents, wives, brothers and sisters have or their high school graduation or their basic training graduation. So I've gotten a chance to grow bald, old and ugly, and they didn't get that chance.
Well, it still says a lot about your generation, and obviously you should be very proud as your family, and it's a great honor. It really is. And you know, when you receive an honor like this, it's about you, and you should accept it as being, you know, yourself. And that's where the pride comes in, your own self pride. And that's what it's all about. You know,
I've been doing things for people in the capacity as a mayor, as a rep through the years. And you do it like I try to do it quietly. I don't need the fanfare.
Well, you know what I found out? You're better off doing it quietly because the only people that really care are the people that you're helping. And that's the only ones that really should care. And that's what it's all about. That's the best thing about public service is that when you're in a position to help people, help them the best way that you can in any way that you can. And I get great satisfaction as you do. And you know, all those that have served our country, honorably should be proud of their service.
Yeah.
And the great feeling you must receive when someone walks up to you and says, thank you for your service. There's no better reward than that.
You're absolutely right. And it's more, I have to share that. I may have shared it with you before, but you know, with my memory, I'm looking for the refrigerator. So if you find it, let me know.
Well, I'm talking about the Fall Foliage Parade.
So. Hey, there's something about it, though. But, you know, I often, when you help people and you do it to help them and you see all of a sudden it's so gratifying. And I had this, I think, and I just told somebody, when I get on the radio, I used to do a call, you were on it. Call-in show for W, that one. And this old lady, elderly lady, she's probably younger than I am, called up and said, you know, I used to do 3 hours, John. Remember that? Oh, God. But anyhow, she called up and she said, you know, I just want to thank you for doing this. I'm an elderly woman. I'm a shut-in. My kids don't live close by. I listen to your program because it keeps me connected with the community. John, when I sign on, I never forget that lady.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I'm a big Pittsfield and Berkshire County guy, and there it is. So listen, you're on a leave from the state house.
Yeah. I don't know if you call it that. We of course, ended our session, I guess, on the 1st of August. It should have been the 31st of July, but we ended it. It was a very long session, to say the least, and a lot of things that we didn't get done that we wanted to get done. But we also did a lot of good things. I'm optimistic that we'll probably be back after Labor Day and address the things that we didn't. I think that they will probably call a special session. Do I know that for a fact? No, but I do know our responsibilities to this. And we live in a world where we just can't all agree on everything. But in the end, I think that we will get it right and get it done, certainly for the people of my district and right. Berkshire County and the others. And because, again, that's what it's all about. But these things happened. I wish I could explain it. It wasn't easy for me even going into the legislature, being a mayor for 26 years. And everybody used to jump when I said something. And yeah. Now they look at me with a strange look, but it's adapting to the process and everything else that and we have to accept it. That's our government. That's what democracy is. And we if everybody agreed upon everything, what a boring world we'd have. But
I know.
I'm very confident that we will get it done, and we will act in the best interest of the people that we represent. It's a tough time. We see it at the national level now, but you know, it's what has transpired over the past several weeks and at the presidential level and what's going on. It has generated something that I haven't seen in this country in a long time. And I don't care who you're with in this race, but you know, we were brought up in the Kennedy generation when we were in high school, he was our president. Yeah. And we saw a time when there was so much good feeling in this country. Everybody was taking 50-mile walks. We saw a young family in the White House and with so much ahead of us and ahead of them. And our future looked so bright, and it was just snuffed out on us. So we've had a tough time since the early 60s, you know.
I think so.
Yeah.
It didn't kill just a man. It killed the movement.
Yeah, it's just the spirit of, and you know what? When I hear the national anthem, I still get chills. I watch the Olympics and I watch those gold medal winners who you think are these egotistical, whatever you want to call them, and they're not. They're Americans, and they stood there and their tears came down. I mean, when I saw the golfers, Scottie Scheffler, you know, breaking down in tears. Here's a guy that's won a ton of tournaments over the past year and a half, 2 years. And yet he didn't cry, but he cried. When he heard the national anthem being played and realized that he had won a gold medal for his country. And we saw that throughout the Olympics. That feeling brought the country back together. And that's the way we should be, and proud to be Americans in so many different ways. So it was a good feeling. And I think, we're going to see some good times ahead, hopefully, but we live in a tough world. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East as we speak.
I know.
Something terrible could happen. We see all the killing that's going on and those young kids that are never going to have a chance. So we got some ways to go, but I have a lot of hope for our world and our country.
I'll tell you what discourages me, and I don't be Debbie Downer, but I'm up too. I saw the girl from Ireland. I don't know if you saw her. It's on YouTube. Pull it out. She was just so emotional, like some of our athletes. And that, you know, but what upsets me, John, is I've worked all over the world, and no country is perfect, including ours. But we're the best of the lot. And to see us constantly, these protests, anti-American, defacing all these wonderful ancient statues, not ancient, but I sometimes wonder what in the hell are people thinking?
Yeah, it's and yet at the same time, I had visited Paris several years ago and went through there, and you see all the how thankful the French people were to Americans. I mean, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's name is plastered all over that city because he and America, we were able to save that country and save Europe. So I hope we can return to that. I hope we can have respect in the world. And I know we have respect in the world, but I mean, the whole world can respect each other in somehow, some way, because I'll tell you, it's we've gone through a rough time. And but I'm confident. I'm confident.
I don't think it's over yet. Well, I think we've got to set aside and we've got to set aside our differences, especially our political differences. You know, I often say this, and I get hate mail, but I often say if the federal government would work as well as the Massachusetts state government, we wouldn't have half the problems we have. But this, who you, Kennedy said, it's neither Republican, paraphrase, we shouldn't do it because it's Republican or Democrat. We should do it because it's right.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And many of those in politics now have done what's best for them or her or whatever. And it's a time that we have to start, thinking about what's best for the country, what's best about for the people we represent.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's all about in the end. And hopefully we'll swing back to that. But right now, I mean, some of the actions that we've seen, someone hoping that the stock market will crash because then it'll benefit him or her.
Right.
And that's just not right. It's just crazy.
And the thing is, to the depth of it, and I'll give you an illustration. I'm walking out of church, Polish princess and I, a woman older than us. And there's not a lot of them. And I said, I said, what a sad weekend, or what a sad time, or something like that. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, the assassination attempt on the president. She said, yeah, too bad they did whatever. And I thought, wait a minute, you're just walking out of church. the depth of the anger is. But, the good part about it is, and I'll bring this back on course, the good part about it is, John, the Massachusetts legislature functions along with the governor and has, whether the governor was Democrat and or Republican.
Yeah, it works as well as can be expected. I mean, there's no animosity and hate towards one another. Is there a disagreement? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of disagreement.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're on the far left, the far right, or in the middle, there's disagreement. But I think in the end, a lot of the votes that you see taken are taken in the best interest of the people that we represent, whether it's the children, whether it's the seniors, no matter who it may be, are those that are suffering with health issues of any type. We have tried to put forth the government. We have tried to be very inclusive in a lot of ways with our legislation, because we're all one people when you come down to it. And so that's what we have always tried to do. And in the end, but we don't hear any of the viciousness. We don't hear personal attacks on our fellow legislators, whether they're on the right side of the political spectrum or the left side or in the middle or a different party. It doesn't matter. We try to work together, and that's one thing I can say about the Massachusetts legislature, that they've been able to do that. And and boy, there's some things that I disagree with at times there, and I'll never forget the first time I went in there. I said, "This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to go up there and say something to him." And a guy grabbed me and held me back, and he says, "No, you can't do that. You just have to talk to them on the side,
Yeah.
and try to do that, because that's the last thing you want to do. You have to go by the system sometimes, and even when you don't like it, you always have to make the decision based upon what's best for my district, not what's
Right.
best for me." And I've always tried to operate that way, and it works sometimes, and other times it just don't work. But at the end of the day, I just want to make sure that I don't, when I go to bed at night, that I made the right decision. And no one second guessed themselves more than politicians. No more, there's more, no more insecure people in the world than politicians. Always questioning ourselves and our ability
Yep.
to do things. But in the end, you hope you do the right thing. And when they close a chapter, that they'll say he or she did a good job.
And I think too that for people out there, they don't under, or some people, I should say, when you run for political office, and I don't care if it's city council or state rep or vice president or whatever, there's an awesome accountability and responsibility, and you nailed it, to the people you represent. It's not about you. It's about the issue. It's about the district. You know, as Tip O'Neill in his book, Man of the House, said, you know, a young rep went up to him and said, "Gee, Congressman, the whip wants me to do this, but my district is dead on this." And Tip said, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, because Tip says, "Son, who put you here?" He said, "Well, my constituents." He said, "Then that's who you follow. I'll take care of the whip." You got to be that way.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. And sometimes you have to do the right thing in your own mind too, which sometimes means you'll go against the feelings back home, or something like that. But if you've got a good reason and you
Well,
can
that's it.
explain it, then they should respect you for it. And that's it's tough at times. It really is. Especially as we get older, we realize it more than ever. And even now, I think back to the many decisions that I've made in the past, and again, second guessing, did I do that right thing, or did I make a mistake in it? And you know what? It's usually 50-50 sometimes that I made a mistake, and you learn by your mistakes. And boy, did I make a lot of them over the years.
Oh, me too. I mean, I you know, but I think the important part, and you know, we're at the stage that we can sit and remember our mistakes. But
Yeah.
when you're 40 or 30 or 40, you're still making them because you're still on the treadmill. You know, you're still running. You still got the kids. You got all this stuff. And yeah, I regret a lot of things. But you know, again, is me saying to the Irish mother would say, you don't make any of these decisions. They're made for you. You just follow them. So there you go. You know, what was her favorite saying? Here, but for the grace of God, go I. So, and I still say, I gotta tell you this story quickly. So the bad storm, right? The other night was a huge bad storm. So I'm gonna pull out just to run out and get some stuff for me and the princess. So I'm at the edge of my driveway and a car's coming, so I have to stop. That stop probably saved my life, because while that was transpiring, I heard this boom, crash. A whole tree picked up out of the ground and fell on the road, right where I would have been. So there you go. I mean, you never know. You've been there now. How many terms is this going to be?
I think this is four that I've actually been elected to. Yes, I've finished out Gail Caridi's first term.
Right. So what's been the most rewarding of doing it? And I'm sure there's a bunch of things, but that you do. But what are some of those things? What does make John feel good driving that 4-hour ride home from Boston?
I just hate. But no, the bottom line, I think I've said it already, is when you can help somebody. When we were able to get actually someone who wasn't even our constituent or in our field, it was a federal matter that for some reason they had denied her a lung transplant, and she had very little time before she was going to be, not be out. Work. It wouldn't work. In other words, she had to have it within, I think, 24 hours, something like that. And we were able to make some calls around and everything else. And Congressman Neils, we knew the person to get a hold of there. And we were able to get that person her lung transplant and keep her going, or help the person who hadn't gotten an unemployment check in 6 months because of the system had messed up, and they it just messed up. We want to go into the details, but and they're crying on the other end of the phone and saying, "Listen, I've got a mortgage payment to make. I don't know what I'm going to do. They've extended it, and blah blah blah." And we finally got it straightened out within a matter of hours, not days, hours on it, and we were able to clear it and make it work. Those are the types of, and we get those all the time, as it does every rep and every senator. But that's the best part of this job, is helping somebody. And you know what? I can tell you right now, 90% of them don't even vote. Yeah,
Oh, I
so
know.
we don't even do it because of that. We do it because that's our job. I get great satisfaction. I have two great aides. I have one here in the district and one in Boston. Boy, they know just where to go when there's something that has to be handled. And sometimes the pressure's on them, especially when I'm on the other end of the phone saying, "Get it done, get it done." And but that's the greatest thing. I never understood what a state representative did until I got there. But you know what? I didn't really understand what a mayor did until you get there, because you don't know what the lay of the land is. You know you're in governing. You know you're going to try to do things and get things done that'll benefit the people you represent, but you don't run into the problems that you may run into that you was on nobody's radar screen, and what we were able to do to help them. And I'll tell you, there's no better feeling. I'm the type that believes that when we meet our maker, my grandmother always used to say, "Show them your hands when you get there," and you can tell. And whoever it is may be there, we'll know what your life was like by looking at your hands. And
Your hand.
I think that's the rule that I've tried to live by. I haven't always lived by it, but have tried to my the best of my ability to do so. And I think that's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. So, but I get great satisfaction in helping people. And I have two aides that are under the age of 25 and 25 and under. And they have begun to appreciate the important role that they play. And someday it's going to lead them to a down a path that they will continue to do it at a higher level. And that gives me great satisfaction too. And the ability to help our young people too. We've heard so many times from political leaders and others, our future is our children. Well, what are you doing to help those children have a future that's going to be worthwhile? Are you providing them a good education? Are you making sure that that they get three good meals a day? Are you making sure that the senior citizens who are living on a Social Security check of $700 is being able to stay in a decent apartment or stay in their home, so that they work their whole life for it? Some of them are veterans. Others were public servants of some way. They don't have a lot of money. And those are the people we seem to forget a lot. And so in government, those are the ones that we should be helping, those that are our most vulnerable.
Now, and that is that's I don't want to be critical. There are I go back and I've told you the story before, but the elderly lady with the Spectrum TV and told the young kid there at the hearing, well, you may not think $7 is a lot. And he was young. But she said, $7, I'm on Social Security. I got to pay my co-pays on my medicine, my rent, my... And $7 to me could be a meal, could be a co-pay. And I think sometimes some people in office and out of office forget that. Not everybody's living a good life. They're surviving. I see it in the grocery store. It's people now are putting stuff back when the girl rings out. I thought that was, you know, I haven't seen that since I was a little kid. So,
yeah, it is tough. I mean, and I didn't understand too. When I was mayor, I'd never forget this one woman who came in and said almost exactly what you're saying. She was upset because her water bill went up 50 cents. And she said, you just don't understand. 50 cents may not seem like a lot to you, but 10 of those 50 cents is $5.
Right.
It might be groceries for me and things like that. I know there's a lot of people that think that we do too much for people, but there are some hurting people out there. And, we don't think sometimes when we can walk in a normal pace down a street, yet someone who's in a wheelchair trying to get over a bump sidewalk, it's not that easy. And it's not that easy to get into a building if they're in a wheelchair or some other type of medical handicap.
Walkers or?
Yeah. That they may be faced with challenges that they may be faced with. And you have to take that into consideration, because I've done that a lot in my earlier, they complain about this. And then you stop and you realize and you digest what they're saying, you understand better. And that's what political and government leaders should be doing and paying attention to, rather than how many times their name is on Facebook or on Instagram or this or that or Twitter or X, whatever they call it now, and having pictures. I'm a terrible public relations guy, absolutely terrible. My aides will say, get a picture of this, get a picture of that. I try once in a while, I remember, but I'm just not good at it. I haven't got time for that malarkey sometimes.
I think, yeah, we are captured in a new world. I don't go away. I just bought this book at the recommendation of someone. The Anxious Generation. And it's about our kids and the anxiety my anxiety was my report card day. That was about it.
Well, my that was my anxiety among a lot of them. But kids growing up in this world, it's a tough time for them. And parents, let me tell you something. Parents have the toughest job in the world. Trying to raise your child in the best way that you possibly can with the challenges that are out there. And I never dreamt of me having a cell phone or mobile phone when I was in the first, second, third grade. And now we're talking about banning them in schools because it becomes such a problem. But we didn't think about these things, you know. We watched Howdy Doody and Ding Dong School.
Yeah.
And,
Buffalo Bob.
Yeah, yeah, and Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Those days are long gone, and the challenges that parents face today is sometimes insurmountable. And how do kids in some of our poorer communities, how are they going to have a chance at anything? But you know what? I'm still optimistic. I'm still optimistic that good things will happen and that we will hopefully continue to elect good people. I'm approaching my last rodeo, and someone said, geez, you're becoming very unfiltered. I says, I was unfiltered at 24.
Yeah.
That was my problem.
I think one of the things they will not put on our gravestone is that Bill and John had very strong filters. As I told the young man the first time I went to the VA in Leeds, my wife and I, we were so disappointed. It's so changed. It's so much better. But so I'm registering and I did a sturgeon. Yeah, I give myself, oh, you're Vietnam? Yeah. Sit over there and keep your mouth shut. They'll call you when they want you. I said, oh, dude. I didn't have a long filter before I went to Vietnam, a long fuse. I have no fuse now. And so he had the cops come and he said, I threatened him. I said, I didn't threaten him. I was just explaining my fuse. And the cop said, doesn't sound like a threat to me. But I'm not sure we're always wrong having a short fuse, because sometimes you have to say what needs to be said.
Yeah, but there's a
Well,
time.
there's always a consequence. There can be a consequence. You got to understand that. Yeah. You
But
know, but what's been the drive? That probably COVID was a blessing for you guys.
well, no, not really, because during COVID, boy, it was very stressful. I mean, I'd be up in the trying to find at that time testing sites was the first thing to get, and then getting the shot itself, and then communicating with our constituents, and most importantly, making sure that Berkshire County, wasn't the redheaded stepchild, as we've been referred to many times, and that we weren't the foreign country, and that we got our fair share. A lot of people didn't think we did, but boy, let me
Yes,
tell
you
you
did.
something. The delegation, we really worked hard on that, and I was critical when I had to be critical, and when I saw the number of people that were dying in our nursing homes, I'll never forget when I called up the state on a Sunday night, and I called the governor's office, and I talked to the guy that was there, and who he knew me, and I said, if we don't get somebody up to the Williamstown Commons, we're going to have a lot of people dead within a week. And guess what? By the end of the month, I think we lost 24, 25 people there because they hadn't been tested. And then they didn't even test the employees that were there. The testing wasn't going on. And we think that that's so far behind us, but that's only 3 and 4 years ago. The number of people that died, especially our elderly. And I remember I got on the phone with the governor, and it was Charlie Baker at the time, and I says, Governor, you're going to have people dying in nursing homes in your end of the state, and it's going to hit there, and it's going to be bad. And lo and behold, we saw what happened at the veterans,
Holyoke,
Holyoke and Chelsea, and it just had to be in it. And they finally started moving on it. But you know what? I found vulnerabilities in our state government, of which I've tried to change since then, in the Department of Public Health. Tried to get some changes there and how they reacted to this situation, because they didn't react in a way that I thought was right and proper, and they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. Finally they did, and then of course we went through getting more testing up here for people, and helping businesses, creating funds that could keep our restaurants in business and our cultural institutions in business, and everything from movie theaters to so many, and they were hurt by it. And thank God the government had programs that came along. And the thousands and thousands of people that went out on unemployment during that time, it was like a crash happening. And but we were able to help them and get it done. And but boy, it was a very tough time. It was nothing to be working 12 hours a day,
Oh, I know.
sometimes longer, trying to get these things straightened out. And the number of Zoom calls that we had back then were crazy with
Oh, I know. We were doing them.
yeah
We
yeah
take a break. We're a little over, but that's fine. Today I'm here with Representative John Barrett, and I'm not gonna he's been a friend a long time. I have the greatest respect for him. You know, when you vote, do this. Ask the person, what are you gonna do for me? You know, because that this guy's 26 years as the mayor. I tried to counsel him on that, but he wouldn't listen. But just be good to people. That's it. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. Today I'm very honored to have with me John Barrett, Representative John Barrett. He was a mayor for 26 years. Here's my favorite story. John came to work with our Department of Public Works. John can spot a pothole at a half a mile away. Other people in our administration at the time would fall in the pothole, but that's okay because John is some of the really and truly some of the changes you made are still in effect. So that's a credit to you.
Well, that was quite an experience, and going from a mayor to basically running the Department of Public Services and revamping it. But I consider that to be fun. That was a challenge. Yeah. And Pittsfield was going through some tough times, and by the time I left, they had a good road replacement program in place. Yep. They were starting to fix potholes and keep catch basins from sinking and along those lines. But they worked together, and that was good about it. I'm sorry that a lot of the things that we put in, they don't have any longer, but they did keep some of them. And I think the consolidation that we put forth and things like that. And what is always tough to explain to especially new mayors that come in, whether it's Pittsfield or someplace else, you stay in office not because you're the smartest person around. You stay in office because you're meeting the needs of the people. They want to keep their taxes down. They want to see quality services out there. They want to make sure that the fire department or the police department answers the calls. Those are the basic services. Too many of them go in there and they want to do these great visions and plans and everything else. You can't do that until you take care of the basics. It's very simple being a mayor or any other leader of a community. Take care of the tangible things that they can see. Did it in North Adams. We started, painting the fire hydrants. We put flowers in. We didn't have any stores in ours in the downtown, but boy, did we have beautiful flowers. And that's what the people looked at. They started to take pride in their community. There isn't a community out there that doesn't want that people live with that don't want to be proud of their community. And that's what I tried to carry over into my short time in Pittsfield.
I say this and I'm not throwing stones or trying to be ugly. But everybody here, Berkshire County is an aging community. Pittsfield's an aging city, blah, blah, blah. Okay. We need more handicapped parking then on the main streets and the main places and things like that, curb cuts for wheelchairs or even walkers. You see people in some of the architecture of our city. I watched a poor lady with a walker the other day coming down the mall there, and it went boom, 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 boom. So, I mean, if we're going to say this, we got to live it. Is all I'm saying. And when you're 33 and you go out running every morning, you're not really thinking of that. So, and I was the same way, but now I'm an old man, and I got to be careful just walking in the house. So, but what do you see next for next year?
I think it's hard to read right now. I think we're going to go into a mini recession, and I don't think it's going to be anything bad, but I think it's going to impact the bottom line. What we have done in Massachusetts, we haven't raised any taxes since I've been there at all. Not, in fact, they've actually gone down. Yeah. The income tax, I believe, is below 5%, if I'm not mistaken. But so the taxes haven't gone up. I think we've tried to address the issues as far as estate planning goes and things along those lines. So we've tried to do it. But what we have to do in this state and throughout this country, and the Biden administration has done a great deal, is we got to fix our bridges. And our other infrastructure that's out there, we've got to address transportation. We've got to have an east-west rail from Boston or Pittsfield or vice versa. We have to have a northern tier, and so there's a rail line going. That's the only way we're going to relieve traffic here. I know nobody likes to talk about climate change because it's going to be expensive, I think, for the next generation to deal with. But I think when it all evens out, it's going to also be a very positive for the economy. I mean, we just have to do it. Look at anybody who doubts that there's something going on in our atmosphere out there and with climate change and things with that, just has had their head in the ground, because I've never seen the sustained winds that we have now, the microbursts that are happening out there. And then the snow in the wintertime isn't what it used to be, and the streams are drying up, and it's going to be a challenge for the next generation. And it's become very dangerous. And people say, well, how's that going to impact me and that stuff? I'll tell you how. Take a look at the insurance rates that people are now paying for their cars,
exactly,
especially for their homeowners. It's a problem that has to be addressed, and it's because of these storms. In places like Florida and other parts of the country, it's even worse.
Yeah.
But I've seen my homeowner's insurance, and I haven't had any claims, double. And it's because of these storms and everything. I mean, we're having tornadoes in New England, tornadoes and even earthquakes are going to come at some point in time. But up through the country, I mean, you turn on a Good Morning America, and the first thing they talk about is the storms going across the country. We haven't witnessed this before. And even my generation, I think, is seeing it now more than anything. When we have sustained winds, you know, 30 and 40 miles an hour from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, we never had that before. Do we have, storms? Yes, but not like this. And it's got to be addressed. So I think that's one of the big problems. But it has to be affordable and done practically, too, in doing this. And it's got to be monitored very, very carefully. But I think that is one of the number one issues that we have to deal with.
I don't disagree. Just from being, what happened the other day, got in a car and it could have been the end if another car hadn't been coming. But I also agree with you. It can't just be here's a bucket of money. There's tried and tested things. The other piece, me to you. We got to pull, if we're going to build solar panels, we have to build them. You can't have them built in China and then we bring them over. And same with batteries. We won, you're a historian kind of guy. We won World War II because we just outproduced everybody. Planes, tanks, boats. I heard this morning that the Navy was on the business news. The Navy's put in so many stumbling blocks that it takes forever to build a ship. The Chinese are building them faster than we can build them. And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying what's happened is the bureaucracy. I had one of your colleagues, not one of your colleagues, but a colleague tell me that one of the best things that happened was with COVID was the elected officials got to see how just entrenched the bureaucracy got.
No, I won't disagree with that. I'll tell you that much. They were tough. And you know what? It's trying to convince those bureaucrats, whether it's in Boston or Washington or wherever. Yeah. This isn't a number. This is a person.
Right.
And we have to do things to help people. And that, and it was, it's even now, my biggest struggle over the past 2 years has been with the Department of Public Utilities, DPU.
Yeah.
They finally have gotten out. They had a hearing out here in Pittsfield just a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to do things. Why did it take a community like Windsor, Massachusetts, almost 2 years to get into an aggregation system where they could buy their electricity, 40% cheaper if they're in it? It took over 2 years. Finally, they're in it. My name is quite well known in the Department of Public Utilities down there. And because
in vain, actually.
And I got more than half of the legislature, both Senate and to sign on to some of the letters that I sent them.
Yep.
And they started to do some things about it. And now I'm concerned, too, because we have a mass save program that was in place. People were waiting up to 8, 9, 10 months, even longer, to get their rebates, of which sometimes were up near $10,000. We've got that straightened out. But you know what the answer to the DPU is? They're going to cut back the mass save program because they want to push everybody towards heat pumps, which are great. And they want to, eliminate gas as we've known it, which is all well and fine and it means well. But how are people going to be able to afford it? I want programs in place that, okay, you want them to go towards heat pumps. That's okay. You want to get away from the fossil fuels and all this other stuff. Okay, that's the next generation's biggest challenge and what they're going to have to face there.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you've got to have programs available that they've had before. And the Mass Save program has been terrific. And people got a lot of new furnaces and heat systems and whatever out of it. But now they ended as of August 31st. They're all done. And now they've got to come up with some new programs. And I said, you better get off your duffs and get it done. Because people are going to expect some type of assistance. They pay for it. The gas company doesn't pay for it. The electric company doesn't pay for it. It's being paid by the consumers. All they were doing is running. They ran it and it was privatized out and they did a poor job on it. So we've got to make improvements there to help people address the challenges that lay ahead.
And again, not just knee jerk. Well, let's put it now. They're saying, and I just from news reports, I'm not an authority on, but some of these wind towers are causing the whales to get all screwed up in their heads. I think there are scientists in this, but they're not always listened to. I think there's other people that want to profit, and that I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we got to depend upon solar and wind and all this.
Yeah.
It just has to be perfected in a way that it can work, and they shouldn't just rush to it. They really got to work towards it. And everybody, just about in the legislature in Massachusetts, we want to deal. We're waiting for a good bill to come out that's going to deal with the climate change issue. The reason it didn't come out and got stuck in committee because of disagreements on both sides, because we want to make sure that there's a balance and we're moving ahead. And Massachusetts is really going full steam ahead in dealing with this, but we've got to do it in a way that it's affordable, with not being affordable with help from the state of Massachusetts reaching that, because it is, we have to do it. It just has to be done. But I just got to make sure in my mind that we're doing it in the right way, in the most practical and affordable way. I don't think anybody disagrees that it has to be dealt with.
But you're banging the same drum I'm banging. Yes, it needs to be done, but not knee jerk. Let's phase it in. This nonsense, I have all gasoline fossil fuel vehicles off the road by 2035. Really? I've got a 1972 Mercedes hardtop convertible Let me say it again. A night is still on the road. So, I mean, to tell people you got to give up your gasoline powered car. It's that kind of stuff, John. That's why people, the average, I spend a lot of time with average people. They're disgusted about hearing about it.
Yeah, I've been a strong supporter of every environmental bill that's
Yeah.
come down the road. And some of it has to be tweaked, and I think it's important that we continue to move ahead with it. But again, we have to make sure that we're not the only island that's doing it. We have to work in cooperation, which I've stressed with our neighboring states, and
Yeah.
in getting it done. And there has to be help from the state government and the federal government to really put in here, because it is really getting scary out there, as far as the impact its climate change is having on the environment. And I think that we can't just do it in a way that's haphazard. Wind is going to be, are they
Right.
having problems with it? Yes. There's other areas that we have to address too, but I don't know. It's not going to be in my lifetime, probably. It's going to be completed, but certainly we have to be in a position where we're addressing it, and it's being addressed.
And I think with people like you in the legislature and people who are in favor of it, but in favor of it in real time, not in hyper time. Like doing away with gas. Well, I have that's what I have in my house is gas. So what are you going to replace it with? Solar? Because here's the thing, John, you can look into. I was looking at solar panels, and we're one of the few states. I was looking at solar panels, and excuse me, I'm sorry. If you have to, I don't know the configuration, but I got it, and I said, "What if we lose the power?" And they said, like from Western Mass, "Well, you'll never lose all the power." How do you know that? Anyhow, long story short, you can't just have a standalone solar system. It has to tie into Western Mass or well, whoever it is now. I thought that, and so I'm gonna look into another system.
Yeah, there are things that are coming down the road, and MassSave will be there to help with the heat pumps, because
Yeah.
that's the future.
Yeah.
Whether anybody likes it or not, that's the way it's going to go, and it will start to clean up our environment. But you know what? I want to see more and more cars off the road too,
Oh, me too. Put that train into Boston. I'd rather go to the hospital in Boston on the train.
And I think that we have to deal with that problem. But I can honestly say, I have seen so much change in the last 20 years in people's thinking, and it's
Oh,
starting to
yeah.
be noticed. And we have seen more efficiency taking place, but more has to be done, because I'll tell you right now, the problems are not insurmountable, but have to be addressed now, and they have to be addressed in a way that's it's going to work. It can't just be an experiment. It has to
Yeah.
be real, and it has to happen.
Well, remember years ago when we were kids and everybody was using hairspray, and they said they can't use hairspray because of the hydrocarbons or something in it. Well, I stopped using hairspray. I
I
don't
don't
use it at all anymore. John, I can't thank you enough for coming on this show. And the people of Northern Berkshire, you have to know when this guy goes to Boston, he's standing at the plate with the bat, ready to swing it at the ball. And that's with all of them. I think all of our we wouldn't be getting with John. We wouldn't be getting what we're getting if you guys didn't team up. There it is.
No,
If you went
it's
down there individually and you wouldn't.
yeah it and too that we lost a representative in the when they redistricted out last year, and working with three representatives now. And that's probably one of the reasons I hung around, is because of the with Representative Pignatelli leaving, that would create a void, and it would be difficult because experience is very important.
Yes, it is.
But also new blood is very important too. But who's never next on the bench, and you know, working with them and making sure that they understand it, because as I say, I've been in government a long time, but every part of it that I've gone into is new: the legislative, the executive branch, no judicial, but understanding that it's different. They each play a role, and it's so important to understand it and understand just what the role of a representative or a senator is. It's key. It's key, especially out here in the Berkshires. So,
are the best. Thank you for coming on. We'll catch up sometime next month. Folks, I want to just say this, that this country has flaws. No question about it. But I will tell you this, it's still the best country in the world. So be careful when you talk about tearing it down. I'm not sure you're going to be able to rebuild it. And to John and all my listeners, and I know this ruffles some of your brothers too, God bless. And do what John and I try to do. I try to make somebody laugh. I try to help them out if I can. John, his whole life has been that. So thank you for that public service. And talk to you all next time. Be well. Take care of somebody today. You'll be rewarded. Take care, John. Thanks a million, man.
Thank you. Keep on.